Welcome to the Business Isn't Usual podcast by Rightway, a podcast for New Zealand business owners to get ideas, up-to-date news, and practical advice on how they can take their business forward. In today's episode, we catch up again with Rachel Harris, the HR consultant here at Rightway, and we talk about some of the changes that are affecting business owners with their staff moving from level 4 to level 3. We also catch up with Rachel on some of the issues and common themes that she's hearing from business owners at the coalface. And we also start to talk about how employers can plan for their workforce over the next months and what to consider if structural changes need to take place. We will also link the previous episode of Rachel's episode of the podcast, which was a month ago, in the show notes. If you want any more updates, make sure you check out Rightway social media channels, but in particular, check out the Rightway Business Hub Facebook group, where we post a lot of up-to-date content to keep business owners up to date. Hope you enjoyed today's podcast. Hey, Rach, welcome back to the podcast.
Thank you, Stu. Good to be here.
Good to have you back on, one of our original guests. And I was looking this morning and it was more or less a month ago that you were first on episode 2 of the podcast.
Wow. And yes.
I know, it seems like a lot longer than a month, doesn't it?
Sure does.
And look, that episode was, I think it was a couple of weeks or a week or so post the announcement of the wage subsidy. We were kind of just gone into lockdown and people were just going to getting their heads around what this new world was. I guess a good place to start, Rach, is I know you've still been flat tack talking to business owners on their HR needs and stuff, but what's the change of what people are asking questions about now and what are the issues people are facing now compared to a month ago?
So, a couple of it's a month, gosh. So we've certainly moved through some different phases since Alert Level 4 came into play back on the 25th of March, as it is now. Initially, it was a really reactive period, so there was a lot of fact-finding, and that was for all of us, business owners, me, you, and seeking clarification through whatever means were possible. As some of the information we've been provided with via the government and the government agencies was, you know, a little bit grey, and that really wasn't surprising given the haste that some of the guidelines and the support packages had been put together. We just accepted that. As time's gone on, we've had some clarification provided by the government, but I've also found that a lot of complexity and overthinking has tended to creep in. So what I mean by that is I've talked to employers who have simply become really bogged down with everything they're seeing and hearing around the management of their employees, and there's just so much out in the media about what you should do, what you shouldn't do, what's worked for one employer, what hasn't, you know. So what the conversations I've been having, we've tended just to try and strip back all that COVID noise and applied some really basic common sense thinking and general employment principles to situations as they've arisen, because, you know, regardless of the pandemic, an employer's obligations still remain the same. So obligations like consulting and communicating with employees, reaching mutual agreement, maintaining minimum wage entitlements, how do you manage annual leave, that sort of thing, regardless of the pandemic, none of that has changed. But I think people were just getting really bogged down that they had to do something different or things had to be managed in a different way. They actually don't. It makes things a little bit more complicated, but actually the principles are still there. I've also identified some real parallels personally between the current situation and what a number of us in Canterbury experienced and had to manage at the time of the earthquakes, and with the pandemic every day, like the earthquake, almost without exception, we're navigating our way through totally uncharted territory, situations that we've never experienced before. We're all trying to do our utmost best, and there's been, I think, a real coming togetherness as we all face these unknown situations together. And I guess out of that, I've developed a bit of a mental toolbox myself. So a business owner will contact me and they're generally pretty overwhelmed at what they might need to do. They're feeling pretty lonely.
Yeah.
But more often than not, it's a scenario that has played out several times with other businesses I'm working with. So I have a pretty good feeling now for what might work for a particular business in the current environment and what might not work. And, you know, we can generally come to a solution or, a possible solution that is likely to fit their needs a lot quicker than maybe, back a month ago when we were all navigating it a little bit, oh gosh, what are we going to do here? And I guess in closing on this particular part of our chat is what the current environment is teaching me is simply to be more pragmatic in respect to all these different situations that are playing out. So you can apply all the employment rules and legislation to problems and challenges as they arise and be completely unwavering in your approach. Or you can look at the circumstances and think of different ways of finding a resolution. And a lot of the time, the problems I'm seeing, they're arising simply because there hasn't been adequate communication. And I can't emphasize that enough, the importance of communicating with your employees during this time. We're all very different as people, and one size doesn't necessarily fit all. So, apply all the employment principles that you like, but be also open-minded to other options and solutions. And you'd actually be quite astounded at how many stories I'm hearing where an employer will go to an employee and say, look, this is what we need to do. And the employee's saying, yep, I get that. Let's do that. And they're astounded. Yeah. They're saying, they didn't think it was going to be a runner, but, if the employee agrees, the employer is happy with that, then, let's just work with what we've got and see what we can do.
Yeah. So with that, Rach, where are business owners' mindset now on what they're looking at with people? Is it, as I said, wage subsidies kind of, we're all kind of got our heads around that. And it's interesting now there's been, I guess, some press around people getting audited around wage subsidies, which we're not going to touch about, but there's people now paying stuff back and stuff. So there's plenty of articles. There's an article in Herald I'll link in the show notes for everyone to have a little look about that. But I guess what are the questions people coming to you now? Is it people now starting to plan for the future? Are they looking at what their requirements are? What are the people, I guess, business owners coming to you for now, Rach, as those general themes?
Yeah, the wage subsidy is still featuring really heavily in the queries I'm receiving.
Okay.
It's interesting. It's some of the original questions are still popping up because it's surprising. There are still some employers who have only just applied for it. I guess they just needed to get their head around what it meant for them, whereas some applied, day one. So if you're one of those businesses who applied for the subsidy when it was first offered back on, 17th of March, whenever it was now, they may be now 5 to 6 weeks through that allocation with maybe 6-7 weeks remaining. We chatted in the last podcast about the need to continually plan for every scenario and every eventuality during this time. And that advice definitely hasn't changed. It's really important to continue to front foot the next several weeks and think about what your workforce might need to look like. If you think changes might be necessary, let's get our heads together now so we can start that all-important communication with your employees sooner rather than later. Because what you'll find, and this isn't rocket science, is by the time you develop a plan, you facilitate conversations with your employees, you factor in any notice periods, and you have to make redundancies, those remaining weeks of government assistance will slip away really quickly. And, we know there is no guarantee yet of further assistance to come. So you really need to front foot these sorts of situations. For businesses that have been paying the subsidy and been able to top up to a greater or lesser extent, they're now considering what options they might have in level three, because while some businesses have been able to move closer towards normal operations under the new alert level and at least generate some income, for others, level three is almost as restrictive as level four. So that light at the end of the tunnel is still proving somewhat elusive for them. I had a conversation with an employer a couple of days ago, and I said to her, how's new level three going for them? And and for you? And she said, well, just the same as level four. And so for many, it is status quo, and that's continuing to create quite a lot of uncertainty that, you know, they haven't been able to generate that income yet. I'm finding business owners are asking more and more how to manage that uncertainty because they have conflicting priorities. They, you know, they really want to do the right thing and look after their employees the best they can, but then they have their own financial commitments too, and, you know, cash flow is getting even tighter. It can be really hard when you have to go back out to your team a few weeks later and ask them to consider yet another further, you know, yet a further reduction in wages. But even for businesses that are able to offer a somewhat slimmed down range of services under level three, things are still tight. And that subsidy, you know, that subsidy band-aid is starting to lift around the edges a little bit.
Yeah, and I think it's a good point, Rach, in the sense of level three, yes, we've got, you know, what's it, about 400,000 workers or something went back, or businesses like something like that was by the government.
Yeah.
And I think you look at something like the hospital industry, which, you know, have been exceedingly creative about how they can at least get some operations with takeaways and or coffees or whatever. But that's not going to be their normal cash flow, and that's not their normal revenue. And so whatever that outcome is, I know McDonald's and KFC seem to be doing fine based on the queues and the ludicrous actions that society seems to go through about burgers. But outside that, is that initial sort of influx is only going to have a short time frame, and that then impacts cash flow projections and go, well, I'm now 2 weeks into or a week into just this level three. I'm nowhere near where I need to be based on my operation costs. So I think the one thing I think is that business owners need to think about is with people is proactiveness. Like, you can't wait to the bottom of the cliff. Like, if you are starting to see some trends that in 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks, even 2 months, that things, if they carry on like this, start to have plan A, plan B, plan C, and go early. Because I just think that you do not want to put yourself in a pressure situation where you can't pay payroll, or you're going to have to do something quickly, which actually then is not following process, which is then not, one, respectful for your staff, but also doesn't go by the law. So I just think that's where I think we're going into this period of real uncertainty, and businesses are not at normal, and so pressure's still there on them.
Correct. Yeah, that's right. And if you panic, you're going to potentially lose some good people that you, you know, 3 months' time, you think, oh, you know, we could have done that a different way. And, but, you know, we acted in haste and rather than taking our time. Yeah, for sure.
So I think good segue. We started to open that discussion, Rach, on level three. And look, there was, even on the news last night, there was an article about, I think it was Burger Fuel, and, you know, the queues outside, and they got a bunch of press around it. There is businesses who are trying to open. There is, in two sense here, there is precautions they've got to put in place for customers, but then there is then there's the precautions they've obviously got to put in place around social distancing for their staff, whether it's construction sector, manufacturing, that might now have gone back into play. So what are sort of those key differences that business owners need to keep in mind, Rach, as we move from level four to level three when it comes to their staff?
So I guess generally there are two main scenarios that are playing out from what I can see. And firstly, we have the businesses who can open up their business, you know, who are opening up their workplaces, again, because they can. And this is obviously easier for some sectors than others. And I was in the local neighbourhood over the long weekend, and it was really heartening to see so many business owners in their premises in our local shopping centre doing all that prep work that would enable them to open under level three. So, you know, we know in the hospitality sector, as you mentioned, Stu, in particular, social media has been completely awash with cafes and restaurants marketing their revamped offerings. And we've got this new vernacular that is creeping in, like, you know, click and collect and contactless.
Click and collect,
I didn't even know those terms existed before COVID-19. It's like now they're just, you know, bubbles and click and collect and contactless. So in general, those types of businesses are boxing on best they can. They're putting in place the necessary measures to ensure employees' health and safety, or at least we hope they are, and that of their customers. And that's exactly the Burger Fuel situation, you know, were their customers being kept safe. And they're thinking a little more laterally around how they can do things that will enable them to still deliver a service or a product. We had a great story in our local newspaper yesterday. There's a chap here in Dunedin who sells something like 20,000 eggs every week to the hospitality industry. And, of course, he had 20,000 eggs every week being produced by his hens. Nowhere to sell them. And so he opened up a website and he got rid of this huge glut of eggs just to the general public. And now he's having to go and buy, find some more hens from somewhere because he's got hospo starting up again, plus he's got the public who now want his eggs.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's just – there's some really cool stories. Every day there's just something really cool happening. But the second scenario that is playing out under level three and those and those are the businesses where face-to-face contact is the fundamental way in which they do business. And they require customers to come onto their premises in order to function. And this is really challenging for businesses, you know, such as we've heard about dentists, hairdressers, gyms, you know, those brick and mortar type stores. Some have managed to embrace different ways of generating revenue, such as online ordering. Or telehealth and video consultations in the case of, you know, say physiotherapists. But, you know, that can operate using a very scaled level back of resourcing out of a normal workforce. You know, for example, a hairdresser, they might have online ordering, for example, but generally it's the business owner themselves who is actually fulfilling those orders, not the 7 or 8 stylists that they have who are still sitting at home with, you know, no work. You know, these types of businesses in particular, they're having to think really carefully around how much longer they can sustain the status quo in respect to maintaining their workforce, because we just don't know how long this is going to take or how quickly the economy or their business specifically is, you know, it's going to recover. Yeah.
Mm. And so with that in mind, Rach, look, yeah, you spoke before this podcast that now some conversations around people looking at structural changes to their business, which affects their people. And there's, like you said, there are people now that have pivoted, and the egg example is a great one of people that have actually benefited by actually having a new sales channel, a new way of delivery. Mm-hmm. But there's also aspects that how businesses operate will change for the foreseeable future. And a podcast we've got coming out next week, I had a chat with Mike Stokes, who's the CEO of Indicator, and he works with sales teams. And he talks about the fact that the sales role will change because we used to have these territory salespeople. So you've got your Wellington salesperson versus your Auckland salespeople. And he said, well, look, technology has forced us to change so that actually there'll be less face-to-face and more video conferencing, which then changes the look of your sales team. And I think that's that story will apply to lots of different industries, whether it's because revenue's down or the way we do business has changed. So as business owners are faced with this question on their structure, what their workforce will look like, how do they start that process, Rach? Because there's obviously a planning element to there, but then there's a employment legislation issue about how you respect your staff about taking them through the process. So where does a business owner start with that?
So I guess, this week I'm certainly getting a lot more of those types of phone calls and having more of those conversations. Probably the first question I'm asking business owners when they're contacting me is, when did they apply for and receive the government wage subsidy? That's probably the first thing I want to know. So that tells me two things. One, what sort of time frame they're working within, as in, you know, how many weeks through their subsidy allocation they are. And secondly, are they actually in a position where they can reduce their workforce? So listeners might recall that the government changed the parameters around the wage subsidy back on the 27th of March. So for employers who applied for the wage subsidy after the 27th, they're not actually permitted to make redundancies, as the subsidy is there to keep the employees connected with the business. Prior to the 27th, employers only had to make best endeavours to retain employees. So there is potentially a little bit more flexibility there for business owners looking to possibly downsize if we look at the worst case scenario. Also, I like to see a copy of the employment agreement. So, you know, businesses generally have quite a generic employment agreement. So just, you know, a copy of that to check on notice periods and the specific clauses around managing change within the business. Because after all, the employment agreement is the document that underpins the relationship you have with an employee. So whatever that document says pretty much is what you really need to do. And so, you know, and notice periods, that sort of thing, that also gets factored into how much time they have in order to be able to start a process. If they've got to give 4 weeks notice, for example, we need to factor that in to whatever the process is that we start to roll out. If it's 2 weeks, that's, you know, gives us a little bit more wriggle room. Communication between the employer and employees remains key. And I've reviewed some excellent examples just recently of updates that business owners are communicating to their employees as the days and weeks go by. And this is particularly been the case where businesses have transitioned to alert level 3 and will be increasing their activity. And in many cases, you know, they've been reopening their workplaces. Communication is so important at times like this. So, you know, letting your employees know what your expectations will be of them, what health and safety measures will be in place, consulting with them and agreeing on any changes in hours or work practices that may be required. Some employees may be anxious about returning to work. So it's important to acknowledge that this, you know, it may be the case and offer any support that you might have available. A question I guess I often encourage business owners to ask of themselves is, you know, if you were one of your employees, what are all the questions you might have around coming back to work?
Yeah.
And frame your communication around that. And, you know, we're so lucky now with the options we have around technology. You know, so many businesses are having regular Zoom meetings with employees and keeping them up to date that way. But going back to those businesses who are still very restricted under level 3, as I previously mentioned, start thinking now about whether or not you need to look at your resourcing by reducing staffing numbers or, you know, changing roles so they better fit what a post-COVID landscape might look like for your business. As you say, Stu, things are changing. People are sort of varying their offerings and, you know, does their current workforce still fit what they may need to do in the future? So get that planning underway now for different scenarios. Plan for the worst, hope for the best, you know, the old adage, where changes to current working arrangements might be necessary. There are still specific good faith requirements that need to be followed under legislation. So, but changing the way you work doesn't need to be a complicated process, but you do have obligations to consult with employees and their representatives. Provide time for them to respond to any proposed changes. Consider any you need to consider any feedback they might have before confirming any decisions. Because of the pace of the current pandemic situation, consultation on any changes, you know, we may be able to truncate that period. Quite often, you know, you go out with a week or two for them to provide feedback. We can look at bringing that, you know, making that a shorter period. But, you know, that's generally only if you need to make rapid changes in order to cope with a fast-changing circumstance. So simply showing a lack of preparedness, for example, is not a good reason to rush through change. And you really do want to spend some time getting things right because, as I mentioned earlier, you know, you don't want to lose good people just because you panicked and find that, you know, they get picked up by another employer, you know, a competitor maybe, who have seen, you know, what they've got to offer and they've picked them up and you've lost that person. Many business owners are contacting me saying, for example, you know, I had one this week, I have some thoughts around, you know, what I might need to do and I want to be able to communicate this all to my staff by saying, you know, second week of May, what do I need to do? And that's exactly what I want to hear. You know, they've started that thought process and it's happening in a really controlled and rational way. They've thought about what they need to do. They're not thinking, oh, help, I've only got 2 weeks left of the subsidy, I just need to shed some people. They're actually getting it ahead of the eight ball and they're really thinking it through carefully. The other point that is probably well worth touching on, as I'm finding, is what to do when you've reopened for business in part, but you don't require all your employees back at work yet. So you have work available for some employees, but not everyone. Now, some businesses have contacted me to say, you know, do I have to pay the workers I don't need? And the answer is, if those workers are ready, willing and able to work, but you as the employer have decided that they are not required, then yes, you must pay them in accordance with your employment agreement. If, on the other hand, the workplace is open, but an employee is not ready, willing and able to present for work, then that employee may be required to take leave, paid or unpaid.
Yep.
Now, I say may be required to take leave, as this is a situation that is going to crop up, particularly with parents not yet wanting their children to return to school or preschools, yep, or, you know, other similar facilities. So if your workplace is open, but an employee is not ready, willing or able to work as they need to care for a dependent, then that's a conversation you need to have with that employee. Now, there may be an option for them to take leave, or you may have work available for them to do from home, but it's about communication and also preempting that situation and how you anticipate managing it if and when it does arise, because I suspect it's going to arise more and more as schools start to, you know, open their doors again and people sort of return to that more that sense of normality.
And I think that's an excellent point, Rach, because I know we've seen this in our business that actually level three, yes, for some people working from home in particular is more challenging than level four,
because
their partner might have gone to work and they've been able, correct, to go back to work and they're left at home, but the kids, mm-hmm, are still at home because they're not at school or daycare. And so that's put pressure. And I think, you know, my advice, I guess, to all business owners is try and be as flexible as possible through that process, mm-hmm, because you're right, right? Like, good people are good people, and you need good people, yeah, to move your business forward in whatever fashion that is. So, you know, I guess the other comment I'd make here, Rach, is that a lot of what we discuss on this podcast is very, I wouldn't say it's high level, but it's practical high level thoughts and ideas, mm-hmm, and advice for business owners. But when we're looking at things that have a legislative sort of tone to them, which is, you know, yes, whether it's accounting or HR, you need to make sure you're getting good advice around this, because, you know, so what's all I'd say is that it's going to be very individual, some of these discussions you have in your industry, your situation, yes, your employment agreement stuff. So, mm-hmm, the big caveat of the podcast, I think.
It is indeed. But yeah, absolutely.
Awesome. Well, Rach, any sort of final comments or points, I guess, for business owners?
I think to probably just sum up, I mean, we're sort of, it's been a little bit all over the place with what I've talked about, but I guess so much going on, you know, so much going on.
Yeah.
So I guess, you know, if I was to sum it up, some key points: reflect, plan, communicate, implement, review. So reflect on what has been, what's worked, as a business owner, you know, what's worked for you as a business owner, and where applicable, how has your business continuity planning held up? Would you do anything differently if it were to happen again? Because heaven forbid we might move backwards in this, but would you do anything differently if we were to go back to level four, for example, you know, plan for that worst possible scenario. Plan what might need to happen within your workforce and structure to recover from this interruption, what might need to happen in 3 months, 6 months, 12 months. Have your business aspirations changed, like our egg farmer who can now sell to the public as well as the hospital? You know, has anything changed in your mind that you might like to think, okay, I'm going to actually start doing things a little bit differently, I think. This has been a bit of a wake-up for me. You know, have you thought about changing direction or exploring some new options? Communicate. So, you know, how might your plans impact on your employees? How and when will you start communicating, or how and when will you communicate to your team? Be prepared to listen to their feedback, really important as part of that compliant angle. Adjust your planning if necessary. So if you're receiving feedback from your staff, if they think, actually, you know, they've got some valid points, let's rethink this, do it. And then communicate your decisions. And if redundancy, for example, through this process is an outcome, then, you know, you have to be able to communicate that to your staff. So implement and confirm and make those adjustments to your structure. Make those changes you have deemed necessary through any sort of change process you've embarked on. And then, you know, the most important thing, which is so often forgotten, is to review. You know, go back, set yourself some milestones and timeframes to check on how things are going. Do you need to adjust your structure again? Is it still working? Is it working how you wanted it to go? You know, what's working well? Have you met, you know, targets that you'd set yourself for your business's recovery? Did, you know, what you set yourself 3 months ago, where are you sitting in relation to where you thought you'd be? And again, just keep refining, keep tweaking, you know, talk to your employees, get their feedback as to how they think things are going. You know, there's no hard and fast rules, but there are some processes that you do need to follow. And I think, you know, as long as you follow the process, you'd be amazed at if you can keep your staff engaged and involved in any sort of process, you'd be amazed really at how, you know, how you can move things along and recover from these sorts of situations.
Awesome. Well, we'll leave it there, Rach. Look, for all the listeners, we'll put Rachel's contact details in the show notes. So Rachel's email address, and feel free to contact Rachel if you've got any questions about your specific situation. But thanks for your time today, Rach.
No problem at all. Thanks, Stuart.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Business Isn't Usual podcast by Rightway. Please leave us a review on the place you're listening to this podcast. And please subscribe so you're kept up to date with all the episodes as we release them. Also, please check out our social media channels for all up-to-date content from Rightway.